Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to another hour dedicated to the notion of enlightenment, an hour for inquiry and reflection, all in an effort to understand exactly what enlightenment means and what it is to be enlightened. An hour devoted to exploring the edge of consciousness and all that is implied thereof, and an hour that recognizes the nature of the subjective experience as being at least as important as the objective reality we reside within. Indeed, an hour for those who are unflinching in their journey to the authentic self and willing to examine their deepest beliefs and perhaps challenge some of those old ideas about the world we live in and the people we have become. This is an hour where we strive to evaluate knowledge as inseparable from the total experience of reality. I'm Eldon Taylor, and this is Provocative Enlightenment. All right, our chat room opens the moment our show goes live, so you can join my partner, Ravinder, there now. Indeed, here in the studio with me today, we have both Ravinder and Andrea, and between them, we will monitor the chat room while they join me in today's show. You can log on by going to eldontaylor.com, that's eldontaylor.com/chat. Remember that forward slash, as Ravinder emphasizes. Okay, Rav, it's time for your lines. What is your special greeting today?
We have a fabulous show for you today, so stay on the line and come into the chat room. So that is eldontaylor.com/chat, and we're going to have some fun.
And Andrea, it's your turn. Say hello to everybody.
Hi,
and
everyone.
What's your good word?
Well, I'm excited to be here to talk about your new book today and our launch party. So everyone should stick around, join us in the chat room, and look forward to a good show.
Party. We have a party today?
We have a party.
We have a party. Actually, I think I've been partying all night. After your George Noori epic. Yes, definitely.
Felix. All right. So you were up all night long. That's what you're saying. We'll get to that later. All right. We do indeed have a party today, so stay with us. Each week I read a few of your letters as our way of respecting the role you play in helping us to shape our show and improve it in every way. Last week our guest was Dr. T. Lee Bowman, and we discussed science and spirituality. It was a great conversation. If you missed this show, it is definitely one you want to go back to the archives and listen to. Jonathan wrote, "What a terrific guest Dr. Bowman was. I love his perspective." Mod Girl commented, "You don't need science to prove spirituality. I don't understand the scientists who believe you do. Don't they get that some things transcend?" Nicely put, Mod Girl. I'm partial to Kierkegaard's view. If we knew for certain there either was or was not a God, then there would be nothing to believe in, no reason for faith. And that would really change the context of our lives, if you think about it. I suppose there is a great value to just faith. Sue wrote, "I enjoyed the show this week. I found the cold storage and the sneaker story very interesting. Also, the significance of light, the idea of light, such as in A Course in Miracles, and also when you visualize it, seems so comforting. And just thinking about it makes me feel as if I'm going home." All right, now, just to be sure, Sue, let's make sure it's the right kind of light. I have a little aside here, but a rather funny story. So I know of a New Age leader that tells a story of how he went camping. He decided to protect himself from the creatures of the night by surrounding himself with white light. As the story goes, the more light he seemed to muster, the more the bugs ate him. Moral to the story: if in nature, surrounded by bugs, don't use white light. Remember, it's the yellow one that keeps the bugs away. All right, Mava wrote, "Good day, Eldon. I listen to your radio program and enjoy your work very much. Provocative Enlightenment is an appropriate name for all you do." Well, thank you, Mava, and how appropriate considering the subject of today's show. Isabel wrote, "Thank you, Dr. Eldon Taylor. I love your mind programming book. You have used your wisdom to bless others as well as yourself. Let the universe bless you with love, wisdom, goodness, and abundance many times." Well, thank you very much, Isabel, for your feedback and your wishes. I am honored and truly humbled, and I send them all right back to you and to everyone out there listening to us. Finally, Jocelyn wrote, "Thank you for the download of your free MP3s. I was having a hard time sleeping, and the stress-free and forgiveness programs put me right out. I really appreciate having these programs. Well, you're more than welcome, Jocelyn, and I'll use your letter to remind all of our listeners that we make a number of InterTalk programs available free as a part of our own Pay It Forward program. It's easy to download them. Just go to Eldon Taylor, ELDONTAYLOR.com. Use the left-hand navigation pane to select free programs. It really couldn't be much, you know, easier or much more straightforward. All right, that's all the time we're going to take for our letters today, because we do have this party that we want to talk about. But I do invite you to opine by sending your email to Eldon@EldonTaylor.com or by joining me on Facebook. You can also just leave comments on my website. I do try to read all of your letters. Obviously, we can't get them all on the air, but they do impact our programming. And I highly value your input. So once again, thank you, all of you, for your feedback. Okay, our subject today is a special one to me. For today marks the launch party of my newest book, What If? The Challenge of Self-Realization. I personally believe that this is my best book, and the praise for the book has been super fantastic, and I'm not exaggerating. I had expected many more mixed feelings about the book, because it's not a light read, nor is it full of fluffy, make-you-feel-good stuff. Quite the contrary. In the words of one of my readers, Shazzy, and maybe you remember her from a visit to our show, quote, "This book should come with a warning. It's a black belt on how to discover your true essence. It turned me inside out and chopped me on the head. Don't get this book unless you're really willing to find yourself where you can't believe you are. What If? The Challenge of Self-Realization is too soft a title for this book. Reading it is living it, and you must prepare yourself for the challenge," end quote. Okay, ladies, Ravinder, Andrea, you're joining me today to discuss the party and the book. Rav, why don't you get started? Tell me about the party, but then also tell me, I mean, is Shazzy at all correct? Tell me about your experiences and the experiences you know of others reading the book.
That's a huge one. Tell you about the party. The party itself is huge, but I'm going to put that one to the back burner just a little bit right now, because I think talking about the book is even more so, because Shazzy is right on. This book should come with a warning. I'll tell everyone out there, you know, if you want something that makes you feel good, you know, soothes you, does all of that stuff, then this book isn't for you. But if you truly want to, you know, find the truth within, if you want to find yourself, if you want to discover what it's about, then it's one that you have to have. This book has had great impact on me. I mean, with all of your books, I get to edit them and I read them and we do all of those changes. And I read each of your books at least 15 times, word for word. You're checking every period, every dot. So I've read this one many times, and it just has this amazing impact on me. It was actually, I think I got a little sad at one point, because I thought I was on track. I thought I was doing really well, and this book alerted me. It's like an alarm bell going off saying, you've got more work to do, and this is where you need to work. You know, you don't have it straight. People are pulling your strings more than you think you are, and you just, it was in the face. You were in the face constantly. I love you dearly.
A smack in the face?
kind of. It was. It had a great impact, and, you know, this book continues to have an impact. I apply it to everything every day. So as a result of reading your book, I watch television differently. As a result of reading your book, I hear things differently. You know, I take things on board differently. I take the time and effort to look around a subject, and I have discovered numerous places where I need to change, and I am implementing those changes right now. So this book really is life transforming. I've read lots of books that are inspiring. I mean, I'm sure you have too, Andrea. You know, there are books that just make you feel good, mm-hmm. and you can tell everyone, I just read this most amazing book. It's wonderful. But you asked me about it 2 or 3 weeks after, and I cannot pinpoint exactly what the book did. It just made me feel good at the time. but with What If, it changed me. It fundamentally changed me. It was like a quantum shift in my own personal growth, both, you know, spiritually and regarding, you know, success in relationships and everything that goes on right here.
So the book has more than 22 thought experiments in it.
It does.
The thought experiments, for all intent and purposes, in my view, are the best way in the world to really get into yourself and uncover all the hidden biases and beliefs, well, not all of them, but to uncover where they nest and to discover these hidden biases, these hidden beliefs, these prejudices, and their various contortions together with the convoluted nature of how they're dissonant with one another, how we can hold two mutually exclusive views and be ignorant of it, going along thinking that we're just doing fantastic. And what you're saying, if I get you right, is that the difference between this book and other books is that you participated by doing the mind or the thought experiments. Have I got that right?
Yeah, and it goes even beyond that because the participation continues. So 12 months after I've read the book, you know, it is still going on. The effects are still continuing. So it's that is amazing. And the other thing, too, that you talk about, you know, you've actually started talking about falsophrenia. You know, I'd have you explain that to everyone out there because they haven't heard of it. But, you know, the symptoms that you can have when you have, if you're not being true to yourself, you know, what are some of the symptoms that you have? So I think you should cover some of that.
Well, you know, I basically developed the term. I mean, it's one of those terms where I was trying to come up with, how do you describe a condition of normal man when normal man, and I'm using that word not with any preference to gender, but when the normal human condition is one of self-alienation. How do you describe that? What kind of term are you talking about? You know, self-alienated. Well, and what do I mean by self-alienated? Well, this is living a life that's inauthentic. This is, it's akin to this. I have a minister friend that goes to, when you go to his church and you're with him, you would think that perhaps he was related to Mother Teresa. Maybe he was Mother Teresa's brother. He is just a wonderful person on Sunday. He is just the most loving, giving person on Sunday. But come Monday morning, if you wanted to speak to him about politics, he's the most vile, nasty, opinionated person you can possibly imagine. He has a clear separation in his mind between his spirituality and his real life. Well, you know, when you look at life, everything that it brings to you is about who you are, your spiritual growth. We have discussed on the show before the Pythagorean test, that one question. How would you answer the one epistemological certainty? If you're called before the Pythagorean brotherhood, what is it you're going to say that you know absolutely for certain? Well, you know, for me, that's clear. I'm going to say I'm an experience, and I'm experiencing. Because, you know, I leave this lifetime, I go on in a spiritual sense. Well, I'm no longer, you know, my body. I no longer live in Spokane. I no longer, you know, all those things that you come to think of yourself as being, that's not who you are. In fact, you know, if you imagine yourself standing in front of a mirror, and you have complete, total amnesia. Mm-hmm. If, for all intent and purposes, you know nothing. You're looking at a stranger. There's not even familiarity. But as you touch yourself, you see it back in the mirror, and you know that's you. What is it that you're going to do or want to know more than anything at that point in time?
who I am, what I like, what I don't like, you know.
Well, okay, if I have a list of things, a laundry sheet here, and I say, well, your name is Ravinder, and you were born on this state, and you were raised in this city,
no,
and you went.
That doesn't do it.
It doesn't do it, does
not
it? Because I could be reading a laundry list of somebody else,
yes.
couldn't
yes.
I? Yes. What you really want to know is what's inside you, mm-hmm. what it is that is truly you. You know, and unfortunately, we get into our lives and we forget about that. We just get going along. And in that sense, we become false. Now, false to ourselves, false to whoever we might really be. And it further gets, you know, exacerbated by the fact that we're inundated with a constant stream of media that, for all intent and purposes, wants to own our thoughts, wants to motivate us to consume, wants to motivate us through this soundbite or that soundbite to accept an idea, to vote in a given way, to champion a given notion, etc. And we find ourselves kind of like a ping pong ball between mallets. I hear more and more every day from people who say to me, I kind of lost myself. I don't know who I am anymore. Right? Between the job and the family and the house and you know, everything that goes on, I just don't have any time for myself.
I think what you have is that internal tension
yeah.
that you're not thinking about, you're not consciously aware of, but it's just there
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, that continual arousal consistently, that's correct. And how does it manifest? Well, it manifests with sleeping disorders. It manifests with anger. It manifests with a need to consume. It manifests with addictions. It manifests in obesity. You can look at the conditions. Well, yeah, that's shopping.
That's a big one. You know, you shop to try and assuage that tension that is going on inside.
And in that process, we keep ourselves very, very busy, but we don't really take any time to find out who we are. So what is falsophrenic? Well, false to yourself and frenic in your activity. You're frenically out there, just, you know, like that ping pong ball bouncing between mallets, satisfying everybody's little needs, including those ambitions and goals that you have in life that are all consumption oriented, you know?
And that totally
more.
That totally kills your spiritual growth.
It loses you. And the bottom line is then, okay, like my minister friend, well, I have another friend that's maybe even a good example. She's a psychologist, a radio talk show host, and she loves her Harley Davidson. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, when she puts on those Harley chaps and that helmet, she isn't the same person at all. Rev, we've got horses, and if I put on the boots and the hat and go to the horses, I have to really think about who I am, because otherwise it's just altogether too easy to get into a role that, where does this role come from? Why would I behave differently in that attire than I would with a suit and a tie going into a college campus? Who I am should be a rather stable event, not something that I put on depending on the context that I'm in, like my clothes dictating my life. And when you examine all of this, and then you look at the dissonance that we hold on all these views, what you're left with is the term that I came up with that I call falsophrenic. And I see it as a global pandemic. You can look out there at the violence in the world, the lack of civility in the world, the absence of a moral compass, if you will. If I dare be so old-fashioned as to even imply that there is such a thing. The bottom line is, We've lost that quintessential glory about who and what humanness is, and we fail to integrate it. You know, and in part that's the fault of authors like myself, who tell you all about the wonders of spirituality and how great it is to just meditate use your affirmations, create your world, do the things that make you feel good. Because in doing that, we sometimes forget to tell you, remember to live. Remember to experience life.
Taste the chocolate.
You're here to experience life. Everything that comes to you in your life comes to you for a reason. That's everything. That includes what's happening in Libya. That includes what just happened in Egypt. That includes what's going on in Japan. That includes what's going on in your school with your neighbors. Boy, everything that we learn of in life is coming to us for some reason. Now, if we fail to integrate it, if we fail to make a judgment, if we just put our heads in the sand like that proverbial ostrich and go on blindly, that's okay. That's a choice that people can make, you know. But to do that and then say I'm spiritually growing, that's an oxymoron, in my opinion. Does that answer your falsophrenia question, Andrea? You know, let's get you up here.
Yeah. Well, what from the book, you know, I got most to just be open-minded, taking a look at the other side of things and separating your feelings from fact. You know, reading some of the stories and thought experiments you have in the book really just kind of kept me to keep in mind to keep an open mind about things. And, you know, you can continue to live, you know, just going with the flow and not paying attention to anything that's going on around you, or you can open your eyes to some of these things and choose to be involved. And I do have a quote here from Thomas Campbell that I really like about your book, so I'd like to share that with you. Thomas is a NASA consultant, physicist, and author of My Big Toe, and he says, "If, like Neo in the film The Matrix, you are ready to swallow the red pill, then consume Eldon Taylor's What If and wake up in a new reality where you will discover truth instead of illusion. Or, your choice, you can continue to take the blue pills, leave the book on the shelf, and the opportunity ends. Nothing will change. Life will go on as usual, and you can believe whatever you want to believe."
I like that. I like that quote. That's from The Matrix. Now listen, we've just got about 3 minutes before we go to the party. Or, I mean, before we go to the break.
The party.
So somebody has to, I mean, one of you has to at least tell us about the party. What's the party about? Give us an intro to the party.
The party is the party of a lifetime. You can enter to win drawings. We have got amazing gifts here that you can have a chance to win. So have you ever wanted to attend an I Can Do It conference and not been able to afford it? Well, you can enter a drawing to win a trip for two to the I Can Do It, and that includes two passes to the conference, hotel accommodation, and airfare for two people. That's a pretty good deal.
Now, is this to the Pasadena conference?
Yes.
Where I'll be speaking?
Yep. And
okay.
Whoever wins has to come up and say hi to us, most definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. All right. What else can I win?
Okay. We have got two opportunities to win a customized InnerTalk library. InnerTalk is your technology. That's your baby. That is the patented, proven technology. It's proven to prime how you talk to yourself. And there are two customized libraries you can order. So you could call in, talk to me, you know, order programs for yourself, order programs for your friends and family, do whatever you like. And each of those libraries are worth $500 each, so you can transform your life real simply.
Okay, wait. How much does this book cost?
It's around $12 right now, depending on where you get it.
$12, okay. And now, everybody can't get this. These are drawings, right?
These are drawings, but we've got lots more. I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg of the drawings that we have.
Okay, well, that's cool. I want you to come back to the drawings when we come back, but don't you have
gifts? We have gifts for everybody.
Just gifts, okay. Tell everybody, you know, where they can go to discover this while we're at break.
The easiest place to go is the homepage of eldontaylor.com. At the top of there, we have a big picture with the book launch and everything there. Just click on that picture, and it'll take you directly in. So just go to eldontaylor.com, click on the book launch party.
Okay, and how many gifts, just plain outright gifts, are there for people if they get this book? Mm. And from whom?
I was losing count. I think it's
around 175, 180, somewhere around there. We lost count, but you know, we have gifts from Bruce Lipton, Ariel Ford, Marcy Shymoff, Michael Beckwith, Sandra Ann Taylor, Stephen Halpern, Shazzy, Caroline Sutherland, so many more. You just have to go through and look through all of them.
All right, so over 170 gifts from, you know, leading luminaries, and they're absolutely free when you get a copy of the book. And it is a great book, and I truly promise you that it is a life-changing book. You're listening to Provocative Enlightenment on Hay House Radio. We'll be right back after these messages from some of our friends. Don't go away.
Unlock the power of your mind. This is Provocative Enlightenment with Eldon Taylor.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, we're having a party today, and it's all about you becoming your authentic self. But before we get back to today's show, I want to invite you to like our Facebook fan page for Provocative Enlightenment Radio. As a fan of the show, you'll receive special announcements and incentives from time to time as our way of thanking you for your support. I would also like to invite you to join me on Facebook. And while you're there, of course, you should also maybe think about becoming a fan of Provocative. Well, you know, I just did a circle, didn't I?
Yeah,
I want
okay.
you to become a fan, and you can also become a friend. There we go. I'll get that out of the way. You can follow me on Twitter as well. Some of you heard me last night with George Nuri. Maybe that's my problem right now, 3 a.m. in the morning. We had three wonderful hours. It was great fun, and we covered some truly important subjects. George will have that show. Well, it's in archive. It'll replay again today. I invite you to listen. It was a very wonderful time that I had with Nuri, and we discussed a lot of what we're talking about now, but we were able to go into much greater detail. All right, one way to know all the things in advance, that is, at least like the Nuri show or the things that are going on, where I'll be and what I'm doing, is to follow us on Facebook, is to become our fan. So please do that. All right, let's get back to the show. Before the break, you were telling me all about the gifts, and I was appreciating that because I was able to just kind of sit back in the chair and listen.
You can sit back for a long time now because we've got lots to talk about when it comes to gifts.
All right, yeah. Great. Do that.
So we talked about the tickets for the Hay House, and we talk about the customized Inner Talk libraries. What comes next, Andrea?
The next thing, it's actually, these are prizes now that people can enter to win these prizes for these drawings.
Yeah,
and the next one is the Amazon's Kindle. And I have a Kindle, and I think it's pretty cool.
Love my Kindle.
Yeah, they're amazing. But not only will you get a Kindle, but you'll get it with Eldon's best-selling books, Choices and Illusions, Mind Programming, and What Does That Mean?
And lots of spare space on the Kindle to go get whatever books that you want because it holds thousands.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love it.
I love my Kindle as well.
Okay, and the next item we have here for the drawing is an autographed set of Bruce Lipton's products. This includes a couple of his books, his audio CD, The Wisdom of Your Cells, and a couple of DVDs.
Yep, so if you're a fan of Bruce Lipton, you know, you can just come by Eldon's book, and then you have a chance to win all of Bruce Lipton's, pretty much. The next two gifts, actually, are particular favorites. They're all favorites of mine, so I shouldn't say that. But there are two different drawings for bonus gifts from Michael Beckwith. So there is a 10-video set, Living the Awakened Life Program, and then there is the complete package of The Answer Is You PBS special. He was on PBS.
Yeah, that was a great special, too.
He's an amazing man. He's absolutely brilliant, and it's so spiritual. It's so connected. But here, I think you get the DVD, you get the CD, you get the workbook. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. I think the value of Michael's gifts comes to, what was it? Over $1,000.
Oh, it's over $1,000. Yeah, it's over $1,000. You also get books, subscription to his online community. There's just so many things in this package here.
And I love what he said about the book, too. He had a great endorsement for What If.
He does. Do you have that one handy, Andrea?
I do. Let me see here. It says, few are the authors who turn you inside out, who blow up your preconceived notions and cause you to become honest with yourself through and through. That's precisely what happens when you read What If. I highly recommend this book to those who are unflinching in their journey to the authentic self.
I think that sums it out. Unflinching in your journey. You know, authentic self, sometimes, you know, I can say I'm not quite sure what that means, but I've seen it in practice. You know, when I fully discover who it is I am and I start to be the person that I'm supposed to be, it feels a bit like, you know, when the tides are going in the right direction, you're in the flow of everything. That's the difference. When you're your authentic self, you're in the flow. Everything is smooth and easy. And
do you know what it reminds me of? I mean, how it feels to me. You remember when you were a teenager, you're about to leave home, and you're excited about the freedom.
Yeah.
But you're also apprehensive of, I mean, all the old safety blankets, if you will, you uh-huh. know. Letting go of those is can be a bit of a challenge, but it is also so exciting.
It is.
And to me, that's the process of coming clean with yourself, becoming authentic, genuinely authentic.
The world is your oyster. That's my, it's like you could do anything that you want to do.
Okay.
All right. And continuing on with the prizes here, we have from Marcy Shymoff. You get an autographed copy of her book, Love for No Reason, and the Happy for No Reason product package, which includes books, CDs, a learning course, an audiobook CD, as well with Marcy's products.
All right. Now, you have many more gifts and many more drawing items. Let's do this. I mean, give the website again so everybody could go look.
Go take a look at eldentaylor.com and simply click on the book launch party picture at the very top of the page.
Okay, it's there they can get. There's also a couple of trailers, aren't there? Movie trailers about.
Yep,
that?
You can see trailers for it. You know, you get a flavor for it.
See all the prizes.
And I noticed that Amazon also lets you read the first chapter of the book now, free, online.
Yep, it does.
Yeah.
Well, so, not a bad
that
one.
Yeah, I just. So, all right, let's do this. We've got questions out of the chat room. Let's take a phone call, go to the chat room, and then we'll get back. Okay. I believe on line one we have JJ from Grand Bank, Michigan. How are you, JJ?
Hi there, Alden. This is just like a perfect day. I tuned in and I was reading What If, and I go, oh my gosh, this is one of those synchronistic moments. So I thank you for all the work you do.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you.
So can I give you a snapshot, a real quick overview of what's going on, and then you can do your magic, okay?
Well, I don't know about the magic, but absolutely, please do.
Okay. All right. Here's my life in a snapshot. I had 5 years of childhood sexual abuse, something I thought I had taken care of and worked through, written a book, did the tapes, the whole bit. But through that experience, it created a lot of alienation from relatives. Mm-hmm. And now those, like nieces and nephews, are now reconnecting with me. And now I'm going to skip ahead a little. I think due to how I handled situations, I had 2 bouts of serious cancer. That is behind me, but it is like my entire life has been a reaction to my childhood. Mm-hmm. And you say authentic. I have moments I feel like I'm authentic, but I feel so hollow and empty at this moment. Like, who am I when your life is based upon this kind of history? I became a therapist to find out who the heck I am.
And many of us
live vicariously through many of my clients. So there's my snapshot, Eldon.
Yeah, and many therapists, as you know, do exactly that.
Absolutely.
You recognize, in an intellectual level at least, that you're a spiritual being.
I do. I felt it. It is just very elusive at times.
And so what you experience, and if I may, is a combination of anger, fear, remorse that it happened to you, in a sense that you deserve a lot more. And that creates a good deal of confusion. Now, that's an oversimplification, but is it more or less on target?
Very accurate, yes.
Okay.
It's so cyclical. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I understand. I know exactly what you're saying. You know, once upon a time, a young woman was referred to me when I was in my offices. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. And she came in, and long story short, she had seen just about every therapist in the world, including one that I hold in very high regard, Milton Erickson. And none of them had been able to do anything. And she'd been referred by a local psychiatrist that I had very high regard for, was on a lot of medication. And you know, you've heard that saying about perspiration and inspiration. Well, I had no clue what to do, JJ. And as I sat there looking at all the different therapies that she'd been through, that moment of inspiration came. And I'm going to share that with you because she taught me something that I went out and did. You know, I didn't come from the most loving of families. I left home when I was very young. You know, there was a episode where my mother took a butcher knife to my brother and I had to stop it. And my father didn't understand that in that struggle, my mother had fallen down, that I hadn't knocked her down. And, you know, it was a bad scene. Long story short, you know, I left home at a very young age and I was very hurt and had my own pain and I did my own compensations and my education in part is not that far apart from where you are and for not that many different reasons. So what I learned was, as Jan Polsky says, we teach what we want to learn. What I learned in this exchange with this particular young woman was in that inspiration, as I sat there thinking about her and thinking about how hollow she repeatedly told me she felt. What is it that we could do to fill her up, to make her realize her importance? That's what was going through my head. I didn't realize how much that related to me at the time. But what I came up with was this. I told her, look, I'm going to see you. You're a therapist, so you understand this. I'm going to see you in brief therapy, 10 sessions, once a week. And you're going to have homework. And as long as you do the homework, we'll have this exchange. If you're not willing to do the homework, you know, let's just not even waste each other's time now. Because the only way that you're ever going to feel differently is if you make the effort to do what's necessary to change it. You can't just think about it. Well, she got that point, and so I gave her the homework. And this is what I'm going to suggest to you, JJ, because I've done it myself. I do it to this day. It's a part of what I call the pay it forward now. But her homework was this. I want you to, every single day for the first week, do a good deed for someone. I don't care who the someone is. I prefer maybe it's a total stranger or maybe even someone in the workplace that you think might have some animus toward you. I want you to do a good deed, one voluntary goodwill effort for someone.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, when you're ready to put yourself in bed, I want you to take out a new diary, a new journal, and I want you to write the date in it, and I want you to write down what that good deed was. And then I want you to think about it. I want you to think about how it made you feel, and I want you to imagine how you would have felt if it had been done for you, and I want you to kind of think about how it made that one individual feel that you did it for. Close your eyes and go to sleep. That's what I want you to take into your sleep.
Okay.
By week two, it was two good deeds. By week three, three. By the time we got to week five, it was five, and I never asked her to do any more. Now, admittedly, in the very beginning, JJ, many of the good deeds were, you know, weren't very significant. But what happened is as she began to do this, what she discovered was how important she is, how one person can make such a big difference to other people. And in that process, as she took that to bed every night, I saw a complete change in the woman. By the end of 10 weeks, she was off of most of her pharmacology. I followed her for some time. Indeed, we became you know, close to, I guess what I could say, we became friends, and she was completely off of a pharmacology of all kinds, a totally uh-huh. changed woman as a result of that. Well, you know, I watched that. I did it myself. And what I discovered was there's no such thing as the warm, fuzzy feeling that you get. No, nothing that will even come close to it, to that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you do something that is going to the aid of another human being. The research shows us that when you go to the aid of another human being, you can be in incontractable pain and the pain disappears. The brain is wired, hardwired to reward us. Using functional magnetic resonance imaging, we know if you just write a check to a charity that you really care about, that you're rewarded with the body's neurochemicals, the endorphins. So what happens, I think, is twofold. First of all, we begin to feel better, just feel better. That's a wonderful mood state. You relate to that. But secondly, uh-huh. we begin to identify ourselves as making a difference. And that's when true self-esteem is built. You know, there's a lot of research that shows that false self-esteem can actually lead to criminality. And false self-esteem is just a matter of telling somebody how worthy they are and getting them to recite it or praising them when the praise is really not deserved. Real self-esteem comes from when you realize in yourself your life makes a difference. You make a difference. Then the pain, the perspective changes and the context changes and the forgiveness is genuinely possible and we transcend that event. But that's if there's any magic in anything I could possibly give you, it's the magic that's in you when you do these acts of generosity, no matter how small they are, to aid another human being. Does that make any sense to you, JJ?
Oh, it totally does. And I think because I had a recent bout with cancer and it's almost like a self-absorbed focus on me. And I got away from my work for a year where I was giving. I missed that. And just hearing your words have triggered that for me again about community and about sharing, and when that's lacking, there is the empty. That's when I feel most empty.
No kidding, me
so
too.
I really appreciate this.
Oh, my pleasure. And on that note, JJ, you stay on the line, and my producer is going to get your physical address from your mailing address, and I'm going to send you something that I think you might enjoy, and it might also, you know, be helpful and facilitative in the process. Work for me.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hey, love you. Have a good one.
Thank you for your work. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Bye now. Bye-bye. All right. You know, that brings us back to the point. JJ has, you know, like many of us, endured situations in our life that we had to heal, that we had to transcend. And you can't bury those things. You can't run away from them, and you can't pretend that you've forgiven them. If indeed they continue to nag at you, or they continue to predispose you in your thinking, and you know. All of my books, for that intent, for all intent and purposes, I'm tongue-tied, I guess, I believe have been aimed at waking you up. I mean, waking us up one person at a time. That's what progressive awareness is about. Do you have a take on that, Ravinder?
Yeah, most certainly. I think all of your work is about waking up, and it's a process. It's a continuing process, and I think that's what the spiritual path is all about. It's coming into yourself and discovering why you are here, what you're supposed to be doing, how to do it, how to enjoy it, because it's magical if you're in the right place.
But self-realization is a challenge. It is not easy. It is not something someone else can do for you. is not something the Buddha can hand you. You know, Hesse's book, Siddhartha, a very clear illustration that someone else cannot hand you enlightenment. Someone else cannot hand you authenticity. You have to struggle through that. And that is, you know.
And that's a huge part of what your current book is about, most specifically, because it tackles you on a very personal level. You know, you get to see yourself, you get to discover it, and you get to choose who you want to be. You get to choose truly for yourself without all the soundbite reasoning. I know that's one of your favorite terms as well.
Yeah, and I'd love to explain that. We're short on time. We have a quick, let me give you a quick example of soundbite reasoning so you kind of get this, because what happens to most people is they build their entire logic, they build their entire rational process around the notion that they get as a result of this headline or that headline from the media somewhere. And in case you don't know this, a new Nelson study shows that today, by the time our young people are age 65, they will have spent 9 years in front of the television set.
Stretchful.
Nine years. I just, wow. That is incredible. That's like 9 years in an altered state of consciousness being programmed, you know. At any rate, listen, I am not immune from the television. So the other day, I happen to have the news on when I'm dressing, and I change stations because I pay attention to what all these different sound bites are. That is something I spend a lot of time on. I get paid to do this kind of thing, figure out why people make the choices that they make. And I happen to be on one station, and the station was running a poll, a survey. And the question was, should poor taxpayers pay for rich kids to go to private schools? Okay? Now I changed the station, and on the opposite station, the question was, should poor taxpayers pay twice to send their children to a good private school? Because they have to pay for a public school, and the public schools are failing. And these poor taxpayers, they often sacrifice a great deal. They work two jobs just to give their children an opportunity. Now understand, this is the same question. The question is about school vouchers. But if my soundbite comes from Channel A, poor taxpayers paying for rich kids to go to private school, well, of course I'm against that. And that's where I begin my syllogism, premise A. You see, that's wrong. And if it's from Channel B, no, of course, poor taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for education for their children twice, go without those sacrifices. Well, what happens is, as I said, soundbite reasoning picks up from one of these premises. As opposed to asking, you know, what is a school voucher? Where does the revenue source come from? Does this mean a new taxation? How would it impact public schools? Are there any precedents of this somewhere else in the world? All of the issues that genuinely should be involved. Instead of that, I grab my soundbite and I run off with it. And sometimes we grab soundbites, and these soundbites make their way all the way to Congress. And we find legislation that itself is dissonant. And I have thought experiments in the book that shows you that. So that's what I mean by soundbite reasoning. And now we have a minute, 15 seconds. Ravinder, Andrea, take 10 seconds apiece. Tell everybody about the party.
I would want to let people know some of the other gifts that, I mean, I can't give you the details, but we've got almost $4,000 worth of gifts from Shazzy, and she is amazing. We have two drawings for Colette Baron-Reed, and obviously the audience out there is familiar with Colette, and she's got some pretty incredible stuff. And there is also a possibility of a private reading with Caroline Sutherland, and she's one of our favorite peeps too. So enter drawings for all of this, and there are 11 gifts in 11 big drawings.
11 big drawings. Actually, 12 now. But, yeah, right. Many more free bonus gifts
you
as well.
You hear the music, that means it's time to wind it up. We've come to the end of another hour of Provocative Enlightenment. I want to thank you all for joining us. Hope you'll join us again, same time, same place next week. Wherever you are in the world, remember, believing in yourself always matters.